Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program. Today and all this week we have been looking at the subject of justification in Roman Catholic theology, focusing on the role of the sacraments. And today we'll be looking at the remaining sacraments, starting with baptism and lightly touching on a few others. Let me read a couple of quotes from official sources, from official Roman Catholic sources. From the Baltimore Catechism, it gives a description of what baptism is and what it accomplishes. It reads, "Baptism is a sacrament which cleanses from original sin, makes us children of God and heirs of heaven. Baptism is necessary to salvation because without it we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Then reading from Trent, Canon 5, it says, "If anyone says that baptism is optional, that is, not necessary for salvation, let him be anathema." Then the Catholic Encyclopedia describes baptism as follows. Number one, it cleanses us from original sin. Two, it makes us Christians through grace by sharing in Christ's death and resurrection and setting up an initial program of living. Three, it makes us children of God as the life of Christ is brought forth within us. And as Vatican II declared, baptism constitutes a sacramental bond of unity, linking all who have been born by means of it. Baptism of itself is only a beginning, but baptism is necessary for salvation. So in Roman Catholic theology, baptism is the beginning of justification, and then the following good works and the infused grace which comes through the sacraments all work together to complete justification and make the person acceptable to God. That's what I've been saying for the last couple of weeks on the subject of justification in Roman Catholic theology, that it is not a completed work. It's given in piecemeal throughout a person's life through good works as well as through the sacraments, which are means of grace. The Roman Catholic Church apologist Carl Keating, in a debate against Ron Rosenblatt, said the following, "The Catholic Church has always taught that justification comes through the sacrament of baptism, and that baptism is the justifying act." He also went on to say, "The justification that occurs at baptism affects a real change in the soul." And it is interesting that in Roman Catholic theology, they baptized infants. And so that is the beginning of justification. That's the initial stage. And then from that point on, the individual over their life needs to continue to receive the grace of God through the sacraments and through other means. And one of the main texts that the Catholic Church would use is John chapter 3 in verse 5, which says, "Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.'" And the Roman Catholic Church would take that to be a reference to baptism. But in the light of the context, I believe that that would be impossible. And there are some other views that are held within the Protestant Church as to what verse 5 means. There are many good teachers that hold that the water is a reference to the Word of God. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, the washing of the water of the Word. Other good teachers have also referred to it as physical birth, as water is associated with the birth of a baby, the breaking of water close to birth, where here one needs to be born physically, but then also one needs to be born spiritually, or born again, or born from above, if they're going to enter into the kingdom of God. A third view, which I would hold to, is that actually it's a reference to an Old Testament passage, because Jesus did say to Nicodemus that he should understand what it is to be born again. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 15, God promises new work among the nation of Israel. And verses 25 through 27 read this way, "Then I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart, will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them." So here we see the idea of the water, that cleansing work, the forgiving work that God's going to bring about, also associated with the Spirit. And we see those two things in verse 5. We need to be born of the water and the Spirit if we're going to enter the kingdom of God. My main point here is, because we don't have the necessary time to do so, is to look at every scripture that the Catholic Church would use to justify their position on baptism. But what I need to point out for our study today is that the Catholic Church sees baptism as a sacrament. It's a means of grace. It's the beginning of justification. Nowhere in the Bible do you find the term the beginning of justification. Justification in the Scriptures is either a completed act or it hasn't been started at all. And that's what Romans chapter 5, verse 1 communicates. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's a completed act. We have been justified. We are right with God through faith, not through baptism and the rest of the sacraments and the rest of the good works and prayer and the Eucharist and all the other things that we had added into our life in order to make us right before God. We're right before God because we've trusted in Jesus, his death, which paid for our sin, as well as he lived a righteous and holy life that was without sin, and now that righteousness has been credited to us. And that's what brings about justification, not grace by piecemeal, but it's instantaneously that we are right in God's sight. This is also what Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6 communicates, which reads, "To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he has made us accepted in the beloved." That means that we are accepted in Christ. Christ is the beloved, and because we're in him, we are accepted by God the Father. Because our sins have been atoned for, God's anger towards sin has been satisfied, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been credited or imputed to our account. That's why we're accepted by God, not because we are continuing to receive his grace through the sacraments. That system is a system of works and can only bring about condemnation. And the person under that system will never experience what Romans 8 verse 1 says, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. With our remaining time, I want to simply give you a definition of the remaining four sacraments, because these do not have a direct impact on the individual in relationship to justification. They do indirectly. And the first one would be confirmation. This is a point usually in the junior high years where an individual goes through a series of classes and then confirms their faith. To give you a simple definition, confirmation is the sealing to the Holy Catholic Church, at which point the person is bestowed with the Holy Spirit in a special sense. According to the New Catholic Encyclopedia, this act leads to, and I quote, "an increasing of sanctifying grace and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and other spiritual power." So this is where the individual confirms their faith and grace is bestowed upon them so they could live out their faith. Matrimony is obviously the sacrament of marriage, where God bestows his grace upon the couple, enabling them to fulfill the requirements of marriage as established by the Roman Catholic Church. There's also the anointing of sick, formerly called extreme unction, and that's where God bestows his grace upon the sick through prayer and the anointing by a priest. This is usually reserved for the very old or the sick or those that are near death, and helps in forgiveness of sins and sometimes results in physical healing. So this can bring a spiritual healing or a physical healing. And the seventh and final sacrament is holy orders. This is a special grace and power that's conferred upon bishops, priests, deacons, or leaders in the church. Now, it is important that this sacrament needs to be seen in light of confession, because confession has to be to a priest who has to be ordained or receive the sacrament of holy orders through the church. So they definitely do have a tight system that if you're going to receive forgiveness of sins, you need to come to the priest in confession, or if you're going to receive the grace of God, it has to come through the sacraments, which can only be given through the priest. And this is one area that I've been bringing up constantly, that this is a direct contradiction to Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And also, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 refers to us as a royal priesthood. And then Revelation chapter 1, verse 6 says, "And he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." That means there's no mediator other than Jesus Christ himself between God and man. He is our mediator. He's the one that we're able to come through directly to receive grace and help in time of need. And so we don't need to go to the church or the priest. We go directly to God and receive of his grace and his forgiveness and his mercy. And we all are in the same level of authority in that light. We don't need the sacrament of holy orders to be able to dispense the grace of God. We can go directly to God. The idea of a priesthood did not originate until the 3rd century. The scriptures do not mention the terms pope or archbishop or cardinal or the idea of mandatory celibacy for the priesthood. Paul actually condemns this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, as well as 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 says the elder needs to be the husband of one wife. And so there are some things that are contrary within Roman Catholicism, but primarily it takes away from the priesthood of the believer, our right and authority to have direct access to God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." So through Jesus Christ, we have direct access to the Father. Now, what I want you to see as we've looked at the sacraments, they are the means by which an individual receives grace. Basically, that is blending faith and works and grace and the sacraments and the authority of the church all together to bring about a person becoming right or just before God. and that is completely contrary to the New Testament. If you are part of the Roman Catholic Church, I want to offer to you these tapes that we have done last week and this week and the weeks to come free of charge so that you could get them and study them and listen to the quotes that I've given from authoritative Roman Catholic Church documents and then comparing it with the Scriptures. I'd also encourage you to get your Bible and read the book of Galatians and see what Paul says about man being right before God apart from works. My desire is to help you because I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church. I know what it is to have a heart for God, but then yet try to fulfill the law and just continue to fail over and over and over again and be in constant fear and condemnation. But when I saw the light of the grace of God, it freed me of that bondage. It was a yoke that was removed. And now I'm at peace with God, not because I'm good or better than you by any means. That's so far from the truth. But because I've placed my faith and trust in someone who is good and who is perfect, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. He is now my advocate in heaven that pleads my case. I could go directly to God and receive of his mercy and grace and forgiveness. So if there's any way that we could help you, we want to do so by getting these materials into your hands. Also, you could check us out on our new website at www.calvarylm.org. And if you're interested in the notes from which I teach from, they're available there online. You could download them onto your computer so that you could analyze the things that I've been saying. Now, if you're a Christian, I encourage you to continue to study the Word of God, continue to remain in the grace of God, as well as taking the truth, this liberating truth of the gospel, to those who are trapped and enslaved in a works righteousness sort of system. And I'd exhort you to stand fast with the freedom that you have. Do not surrender yourself back under a yoke of bondage, as Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 reads, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Christ has set us free. Let's remain in that freedom." That yoke is going back to the law, placing ourselves under a works righteousness system. Remain in the liberty by which Christ has set you free. Because remember, when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He completed the work for us, and we simply put our faith and trust in him. What a wonderful message that is, to be able to deliver to people that liberating message. May we do so with a boldness and with a graciousness.